morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself to see. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful God you are. Father, we're so thankful for this humble assembly, all the opportunities that you give us for the spreading of the gospel to both believers and unbelievers. And then, Heavenly Father, our own unity right here in this assembly. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning is glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you will open your hymnals to hymn number 13. Now, if you had made it to the 915 class, you'd know why I'm picking hymn number 13 for our hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. This morning in Psalm 95, we're studying two concepts of to come. One is, as John pointed out, is your way of life. The other come was to enter into that way of life. And so I thought this would be a great hymn of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Let's stand and all sing together. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's go through some of the things we got to talk about. First of all, there'll be no Wednesday night class. John and I will be attending the pre-trib conference and at the Sheraton, Grand Sheraton, out there at the FW every day. So, no class Wednesday evening. And now let's talk about some of the prayer things. First of all, Thomas, how you doing? Good. He's been doing good ever since he done good. Well, what was your report in Houston?
He's really impressed
with his own words.
Good. Well, better than he ever expected.
Wow, the doctor, better than the doctor ever expected. Yeah, very good.
And he was all excited bringing in other doctors, right, Thomas?
Yeah, he showed his fellow, and then he showed his partner,
And Bozatello and his partner are like really excited.
I tell you, Thomas, it's our miracle. You're a miracle here. We've seen God work here, and that's really wonderful, man. So just keep it up. And just over the Thanksgiving days, Thomas had a good report. How's Molly? Kit's sister who had the heart surgery.
Fine.
She's fine. See, John, we're a one word church here. How's she doing?
Very well.
The doctor was surprised.
Yeah. the doctor, that's what he expected. And the funny thing is, the doctor's Greek.
He's what?
Greek. And so my wife talked to him. I don't know if he could speak Greek, but he's Greek. His family's Greek, so that was interesting.
Yeah. Greek working on a Greek. Very good. Oh, that's right. Oh, okay. Well, then Julie filled in and talked to him.
Of course, you know, Julia, she's always in control.
Yeah.
Telling people what to do. Oh, Greek. Oh, okay. I can come into the emergency room.
When is Judith at home? Julie.
She's at home.
Julie's.
Julia.
Yeah.
Tuesday,
good. We'll be in prayer for her travel. Very good. And Judith, your brother Ronnie?
Good. No, he's doing really, really well.
Very good.
We're just, you know, we're, of course, every day, and we'll just wait and see if he's grafting and he's doing what he's supposed to do. And he was at Thanksgiving. In fact, they went on a little road trip, he and his wife. And he came back really tired, but he's doing well. He's
good. Oh, that's really super. Another great miracle. It's wonderful. And let's see, what any other reports we have to talk about as far as our prayer and prayer requests and all? All right. Let's see. Okay, I told you about Wednesday night, no class Wednesday night. Now, as most of you know, I am a Texan by choice. I'm by birth, but by choice. I chose. But we have a visitor. Bobby, introduce your visitor from California.
This is Geraldine.
Geraldine. All right, Geraldine, we're glad to have you. And I told Geraldine, I said, now you owe me once. We have a guest speaker this morning, but you owe me one time at least. And she said, well, it's up to Bobby. So that's good. I asked her where she was born in California, and she said Merced. I said, well, I was just hadn't been born in Hollywood, but that's okay. I said, our pianist was born in Hollywood, but that's okay. And
people
so.
From Northern California don't like Southern California.
Yeah, it's the way it is here. We don't like the North either. Oh, okay. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. Now, when Jim Passmore gets back, he's in California visiting his children, and I'm going to put up a balance sheet, and if you're working out the year-end finances, and it'd be to your advantage to make an offering somewhere, we are down. We are below around 15,000, which is a danger zone. And so just bear that in mind, and that's the extent of my stewardship message, and so it'll be up to you, and we'll have Jim put up a balance sheet, so we'll have all the facts and figures for you when he gets back. So the concept of the Word of God, the people who do not give because of pressure, do not give because of gimmickry. If I give to God, God will give to me. If I give a tenth, God will do this for me. None of that is in the church age. In the church age is we give by grace. And God blesses not on based on what we do. He bases upon His. He blesses on the basis of His character, His essence. So with these things in mind, I guess that wasn't really a big push to give money, though, if He doesn't bless you because you give. I wish I could change that, but I can't. That's just not the way it works. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. How grateful we are, Father, that you allow us to go on the internet, worldwide, missionary outreach, young people and homes in this church, Father, and in our own assembly here. Father, we pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give. You will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, Cameron, it's great having you. When do you go back?
After
30. All right, we'll be in prayer for safe travel.
Thank you.
Very good. And I asked him, I said, did you bring your motorcycle down? He said, are you kidding? I'm not taking long trips on that thing. Bugs get in your teeth. And so we'll be in prayer. And let's see. This morning, just always my pleasure and joy to have my good friend for many, many years. And let's see, my goodness, close to 50 years. Wow. And John Hens here from Tucson. He's here for the conference, but since he was here, I told him to make use of himself and do some teaching. So I'm going to have John Hens now come. Most of y'all are familiar with him and know him. John, come on up.
Well, it's always good to be here, and people at Tucson Bible Church said make sure I tell y'all hi, and greetings from them, and we always feel like y'all are kind of sister churches. As Herman mentioned, he and I have been friends for a long time. I think I was 3 when I met Herman.
You're stuck here.
Am I stuck? There we go. Thank you. I'm trying to get over here because Jim didn't put the piano down and try to save things. A couple things that we don't have the overhead, and so I'm going to be like a overhead, okay? And maybe. And a lot of y'all don't know a lot about me, and so I thought I'd give you a little background. Right here is, I don't know if you can see him, that's my tortoise. He's a sulcata tortoise, weighs about 115 pounds. He's just a baby. And but I've had him about 15 years, and his name is Dr. Dan. And I named him after my good friend Dan Hill. Now, lo and behold, to me, I didn't know this all these years, that Herman, my good friend, was jealous because I had a tortoise named after my friend Dan, and I didn't have anything named after him. Uh-oh. Now, if I can't figure out how to get this to go to the next slide here, you may not be able to see anything. It worked a while ago. I remember one time Brother Graham had the same problem. And he couldn't get things to work. And so he had to get George Beverly Shea to fix it for him. And maybe this'll work. There we go. So I got a little puppy dog, and realizing that Herman was jealous, I wanted to name him after him. So his name is Mr. Maddox, and so he's named after Herman, and he's German. And little did I know that animals seem to take on the namesake of the person they're named after. And so I've learned a lot about Herman having Mr. Maddox. And he'll be 5 months old next Saturday. And my wife said we shouldn't have gotten a dog smarter than we are. But I've learned a lot of things. Example, he'll come to you and be sitting down, and you're petting him, and you think you're loving on him, but really he's getting in a position to grab something that he knows he's not supposed to have. Then he'll grab it, and you'll grab him, and you'll fuss at him, and as soon as you fuss at him, he runs and gets something else he's not supposed to have. And his favorite food is turtle poop, which makes him very sick. And so you know why I named him Mr. Maddox. we've really enjoyed that little thing. And let's see, before I get started, I give you a little update on Pat's doing very well, Pat Risley. And she had open heart surgery, and I didn't really put out on the emails how serious it was, but basically the doctor had told her, we think most of your heart's dead. And we're going to go in and take some tests, and if it's like I think it is, we'll put you in hospice and for you to die. She said, oh, no, I don't want to go to hospice to die. I got to go back to Mexico to die because I got stuff to do before I die. I got to get the lessons in order. And she was thinking of all the things she needed to do for the mission before she went. Well, fortunately, as answer to prayer, they thought half her heart was dead, and he got in and he said, well, gee, this part looks okay, so I'll do a triple bypass. And then he said, wow, this part looks like it's going to be okay too. And so he did a quadruple bypass, and she is just really, really doing well. Oh, James, good to see you. And you know, normally you have to come early to get to sit on the back, but so she's just doing really, really well. It's an answer to prayer. I really appreciate it. The hard thing is going to be to keep her out of Mexico until she's completely rehabbed. And she's already fighting to go back, and she really needs to get completely well before she goes back to Mexico. But it's almost like sometimes God plans ahead. You know, he just sees things. I don't know. I call it the luck of God. Because when you're sovereign, omniscient, and omnipotent, things just kind of fall your way. And so we were up there in the hospital, and she was undergoing surgery. And two families that they had led to the Lord in their first village in Mexico 20 years ago, now live in Phoenix, heard she was in the hospital, who knows how, and had come to see Pat and Bill. And one of the families had two teenage daughters, and the teenage daughters were telling either Summer or Courtney that they wanted to be missionaries in Mexico when they grew up. And she said, because Afar came and said, Grady called him. And Grady said, Dad, Cheryl and I, that's his wife, we've been praying about something for a long time and talking about it and praying about it. And I don't know how to tell you this, but, you know, Bill said, what's that? Grady said, well, Dad, he said, I don't want to wake up one morning 30 years from now and think, you know, what I did on the mission field was run a soup kitchen for 30 years. I just missed evangelizing and teaching. And so in February, and then Bill said, oh, that's an answer to prayer. And so in February, they have a little camper, and I mean a little camper, and they're going to load their five kids into the camper and move about an hour and a half on down the road and go to a village they haven't been to yet and start giving the gospel and teaching just like Bill and Pat did, and just go from there. And Grady told Bill, he said, we decided, you know what, when we can run a soup kitchen when we get too old to do real missionary work. So you and Mom can run. So that is an answer to prayer. Pray for the people. The mines have stopped supplying water. They were supplying bottled water because all of the wells are contaminated. And now they're telling people, oh, the wells are fine. You can drink out of them. And we're through. And you're on your own. And so pray for those people down there. And that's where they are. Status of the ultrasound machine is still sitting at the border waiting. This is Mexico. And even though the governor has given permission for it to come in, you still have to get the people at the border, those people, to say, yes, it can come in. And they had a problem for a while because all the bridges and everything were out, flooded because of the rain. And then, of course, the next problem was all the with the wells, no good, and everybody just scrambling to stay alive with water. It was kind of, I think Bill and Pat kind of, and then Pat had a heart attack, which evidently she's had many heart attacks. The doctor said she's had numerous heart attacks. And she said, yeah, you know, sometimes I would feel pain in my chest, but I just kept going. Pardon me, turns out those were all heart attacks. So now they're hoping that they can get it in because people really need the ultrasound machine. That is just a godsend. So pray for that, too. Mexico is, it's mañana. Okay? It's mañana. So pray for that. Ray's been in it. Ray's a faithful servant at Tucson Bible Church. I'll just put it that way. And he's in his mid-80s. And he's been having some strokes and passing out. And we just thought it was drinking, but but it wasn't. It was strokes. And he's been in and out of the hospital. He had bypass surgery. And that's healing well, but he's still having some little mini strokes and having a hard time. He's diabetic, having a hard time getting his sugar squared away. And so keep praying for him. He was in the hospital the other day. Now he's back in the rehab facility. And so just pray for him. That's I don't know about this, but Herman can tell you, he's a lot older than I am, that the older you get, the harder it is to recover. So pray for him. So did I cover everything? Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness, your grace, your love. We thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and through him we have everlasting life. I thank you for God, the Holy Spirit, the wonderful gift that you have sent us, so that as we walk day by day with him, we can be transformed into the image of our Savior Jesus Christ and enjoy the abundant life that you have for us. I pray now the Holy Spirit would take these things and make them real to each one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're in Psalms 95. I'm going to move this over just a little bit in order to protect Jim's piano. And sometimes that piano jumps out and tries to scare me by slamming shut. And so I'm trying to protect it. But we looked at the first part of this psalm, the first hour. I'm going to just give you a brief summary of what we had the first hour so that we can go ahead and finish the psalm and the rest of what we need to cover today. But the key is in the first word of the first verse of Psalms 95, and it's an imperative mood, it's a command. And in my New American Standard, it says, "O come." And I always think of, you know, I want to sing, "O come, all ye faithful." But the word has nothing to do with coming per se. The word is halach in the Hebrew, which is your manner of life, your walk. So it says, make this your manner of life. And your manner of life is basically, as you can see here in the first couple of verses, make it your manner of life of singing for joy to Yahweh, the ever-loving, living God. And the word sing for joy there means to celebrate with a rebel yell. You know, it's not, yahoo. Oh, boy. Hallelujah, Jesus, thank you for all these troubles. You're such a wonderful God. It's yahoo! See? Man, get excited. And it's to celebrate. It's a PL stem. It's intensive. And then we're caused to shout joyfully, a shout of victory to the rock, Jesus Christ. He's the rock of our salvation. He's the one, as far as the Jews and the psalmist is concerned, he's the one who's going to come one day, don't know when he's going to come, we know it was 2,000 years ago, and he's going to die on the cross and be our substitute. He's going to pay the penalty for our sin. Shout for joy. All of my sin, all of your sin, all of Herman's sins, whoo, we're talking a lot here. They were poured out upon Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, and he paid for those sins. And the psalmist said, that ought to be enough to make you shout for joy, because you got eternal life just by trusting Jesus. You can't work for it, can't earn it, can't deserve it. It's yours, it's free. God says, I love you, I do for you. Trust me. Shout joyfully. I wonder how many of us, when our, and I use this the first hour, I don't know if I use it the second hour or not, I use this word sometimes. I teach a class at the Salvation Army Adult Rehab Center. These are recovering alcoholics and drug addicts, so forth, my kind of guys, you know. But I use the word suck, and they have, a lot of them have virgin ears. But they were able to get by that word. And sometimes our lives suck. You know? It sucks because we live in the devil's world. It's a sucky world. Sometimes our lives suck because we're stupid. And we do stupid things. And stupid people do stupid things, make stupid decisions. It leads to a sucky life. And sometimes, you know, as I said, it's just because we live in a world that sucks. And oh, that has nothing to do with what I'm teaching now. This is something that I never do. It's called a rabbit trail. I'm shoot this rabbit. But I tell the guys, if you've been here, they're there in the rehab center 6 months. And I get them, when I get them, they've been there at least 59 days. And I have them basically from 60 or 59 days to 120 days, then they go to the next class. They have a class before me. I'm the middle guy, then the next guy. There's three teachers. And I tell them, if after all three of these classes, after going to chapel every Sunday, Wednesday night class, they have devotions every day, so after doing all of that, if you leave this building without trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, I got one word for you. You are stupid! And so now I tell them, and I'll say, and I'll get to that part, and I'll say, you are, and they'll, guys will all say, stupid! Yeah. You know what? Now I am going to bring this right into this lesson. Thank you, Herman. We should tag team teach one day. If you listen to the Word of God as taught here in this church by Herman, an occasional visiting pastor who comes and gives you truth, and you listen to the messages that are taught here, and you don't live a lifestyle of walking day by day by day with the Holy Spirit, I got one word for you. Stupid! Yeah. Look, God says it's almost the same thing. So make it your lifestyle to give thanks to God when your life sucks. Yeah. And you know what? We'll see at the end. If you can do that, then when God blesses you and you enter that resting place, that place where your life is characterized by the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, the rest are pretty much the result of those three, love, joy, peace, tranquility in your soul, you will enjoy that and be able to give thanks. But if you can't give thanks when your life sucks, you're not going to be able to give thanks when you have blessing. You know, one of the saddest things in life, people that just can't enjoy blessing. Can't enjoy a good friendship. Can't enjoy a good marriage. Can't enjoy a relationship with God. What a sad thing. That's not the abundant life. That's not the life that God wants us to have. And so we skipped over to the end of the verse 7, and then 8, 9, 10, and 11, which basically says, if you hear His voice today, whatever today is, tomorrow be today, 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 today. If you hear His voice, the word in the Hebrew is Shema, to listen to, pay attention to, comprehend what is said, believe what is said, and act on it. If you do that, you're going to enter into His rest. Now, if you do that, if you hear His voice, then you're going to be one who is giving thanks to God, singing shouts of joy when your life sucks. And you're also going to be able to enjoy blessing. Now, that pretty much describes your life. It either sucks or it doesn't suck. Right? I know a few of you. My wife says, honey, you shouldn't say suck in church. And I tell her, that is so much better than things that I would like to say. So, if you hear His voice, you're not going to harden your heart. But if you don't listen to and you don't believe it, you're going to harden your heart. Become stiff-necked. You don't listen. That's verse 8. As in Meribah. And just briefly, that's where the Jews deliberately rejected the authority of God in the wilderness. So, they had no capacity to enjoy relationship with God in the wilderness. God says, you're not going to enjoy it in the promised land, the place of rest. So, you're just not going to get there. And you can't get there on your own. Remember the Jews? They got to the promised land and the spies went in and said, man, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go get it. God's promised it to us. The other 10 spies said, yeah, but there's giants there. God brought us out here to kill us. Willful disobedience. And then the next thing that characterized their life is in the day of Massa in the wilderness. That's when they had no water and they complained, God, you brought us out here to kill us. And the word Massa means, to be very careful here because somebody misheard me first hour. Massa means to be so afraid that you putrefy your britches. Okay? I'll explain that to you later, Jerry. Okay? We have another idiom that you and I understand. But I don't want to embarrass your mother-in-law. It says virgin ears. And you ever been that scared? You know what? Yeah, you know, we laugh. You know, a lot of people go through life that way. Instead of joy, peace, tranquility, patience, fear, worry, anxiety. Terrified. Even when things are good, you can't enjoy it because you know tomorrow something bad's going to happen. How can I? God's going to take this from me tomorrow. There's no need enjoying it today. Why? I don't eat good food today because tomorrow I might not have any. No, I eat it today. Let tomorrow worry about itself. See? You laugh, people. Most people, I'm talking about Christians, do not enjoy their life. See? You see, here's the problem. Get away from the piano. Here's the problem, God. You don't understand what I'm going through. My problems are different. My problems are unique. God said, no. No, they're not different. They're not unique. And I will sustain you and see you through. And here's the deal here, people. I can give you joy and peace, love, interest in others and their problems. You see what I mean? Not sitting on the pity pot. You cannot love as Christ loves sitting on the pity pot. That's just, write that down. That's free of charge. And I can give you a peace that surpasseth all understanding. And then people are going to look at you and say, how do you have such joy and such a... Do you not understand what's going on in your life? How do you... Because God gives it to me. And therefore I can sing praises to Him and shout joy to Him. Do you see what I mean? And God is glorified. Sometimes God receives greater glorification through our lives when our lives really suck than in years and years of blessing and prosperity. Okay. Wow. I have a story, but I'm not going to tell you. I've got to move on. So here's the key here. Your choice is either to make it your modus operandi in life, to have a life of joy and thanksgiving and praise to God, or a life of Meribah and Massa. That's your choice. Notice mystery here is how do I have a life of joy? You see, I'm told to have a manner of life of singing for joy, being caused to shout to the rock of my salvation, Jesus Christ, caused to shout joyfully to Him with psalms. How does that happen? Well, you and I know, because we're living a life. See, what's my halak? My halak is living a life of day by day by day faith in God. We're doing Old Testament. Trust in God. Okay? New Testament. That's church age. Our halak, our life, is a day-by-day-by-day walk. Faith in God. This will fill in the blanks. God, the blank. Holy Spirit. Thank you. You know, I bring a little candy bars to my Salvation Army, and I pitch candy bars to people that, and I would give you a big candy bar. See? I found that candy bars really help people ask questions and answer questions. And, yeah. So, our day, we're trusting God the Holy Spirit. I think in the day that this psalm was written, it was just kind of a general trust and faith in God, maybe not understanding the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Is that okay? Just trusting God. We're talking Old Testament. Old Testament. Today, the mystery is, how do I walk with God? By faith. But if you study Scripture, you understand mystery. Remember, mystery in Scripture is truth revealed, but you got to do a little digging. And if you dig, you say, oh, by trusting God the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, they were not saved by believing in Jesus Christ would come and pay for their sins. They believed that a Savior would come and pay for their sins. Are you with me? Jesus Christ is the name and the title. Now, so here's your choice. You can give thanks, or I better get to the end of our verse here. He says in verse 10, see in verse 9, they tested me. How did they test me? Well, they were testing me by literally saying, God, if I do this for you, then will you do that for me? Okay? I'll do for you, you do for me. That's the way most people live their lives. That's how we live our lives with each other, isn't it? In the flesh. I'm going to do a favor for you, now you owe me. Isn't that right? Am I way out of base here? No, that's... God says, I love you, I will do for you, trust me. Oh, okay. God says, I love you, I'll give you eternal life. Trust me. Oh, I trust you to give me eternal life. I believe in Jesus Christ that He died for me. We've got more New Testament doctrine. God says, I will do for you. I'll give you the abundant life. Trust me. Oh, okay. Well, who gives me the abundant life? I know a little New Testament doctrine now. It's God the Holy Spirit. Who sent the Spirit? Jesus. Well, what's the difference between Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Well, a whole lot. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are exactly alike, just different. I understand the Trinity now. That's about as much as I got. They're just alike, just different. So, I trust the Holy Spirit with my life. And then he says, they tried me. See, it says, come into my presence. Now they're going to try me. They're going to test me. God, are you really worthy for me to come into your presence? Is it a big deal? Does it benefit me? They tested me. And then they err in their hearts. They're like a drunk. They can't stay on course of just trusting God, trusting God, trusting God for us. Stay on course, walking day by day by day, trusting the Holy Spirit. They don't know my ways, grace and faith. So verse 11, therefore I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my resting place. And you know what? Except for Joshua and Caleb, because they had a halak, the rest of the Jews that left Egypt wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and died. They didn't enter the resting place. Great principle. Remember after the spies came back, the people said, oh no, we're going to die. Great fear of the giants. They were putrefying their pants. And God said, okay. Y'all are going to wander out here in the wilderness for 40 years till y'all die. Next generation go in the land. Oh, okay, we're ready to go in the land. We'll take it ourselves. Who needs God? The Holy Spirit. God said, don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah, we got it. We got this, God. Don't worry. They get their butts whipped. I'm sorry. They got whipped. See? And they died and died, you know, slaughtered in battle. We cannot live the Christian life from our own power and our own way. It has to be through the power of the Spirit. Now look right here. Go back, because I'm going to go back to... We saw verse 4 or 5, where we are, God's got us covered. Here we are, verse 6. Now we have come. It's another Cal imperative. It's a command, but here, instead of halach, we have bow or boo. And it means to enter into and be face to face with somebody. So, come, enter into the presence of, let us worship. The word worship is a causative stem, middle voice in the Hebrew. You yourself are caused to worship. Why? Because you know something about God. Verse 3. He is your mighty hero. He is a great king above all gods. He's got everything in your life covered. So, come, let us worship. And the word worship means to submit ourselves to God. That's worship. You know, worship is singing. Praises, yeah. But the source of that true worship is submission to God. Ooh. Remember, we're grace people. We don't like these terms, obedience, submission. You know, so the Christian life is one of disobedience and not submitting. Do you see sometimes we don't think things through? The result of trusting God with my life is what? Submission, isn't it? God says, John, walk over here. So I walk over here. What am I doing? Am I submitting? Why am I submitting, though? Because I believe that God's love is so great that this is the best place for me to be. Does that make sense to you? So, the submission is, God the Holy Spirit says, walk with me. Oh, okay. Listen to me. I'm over here. I'm over here today. God leads us. He brings us to where He wants us to be. But we have to listen and decide, yes, what God has for me is best. How do I know that? Well, because the first place I submitted to God was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Oh, wait a minute. Before I trust you, Jesus, I'm going to weigh this out here. I trust you. I have eternal life in heaven with you. If I don't trust you, I'm already under condemnation. I'm going to hell. Burn in the lake of fire. The fiery lake of fire forever. Whew, that's a hard choice. Would I rather burn forever or live with you forever? Oh, man. I got to think that one out. You know what? I think maybe... the best deal for me, I'm just in it for me, right? Is to trust you and spend eternity with you in heaven. Did I get a good deal? That's a good deal. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, remember this is a verse I'm going to write, so walk ye in Him. I receive Christ Jesus as Lord, I got a heck of a deal. Let me tell you, it makes Black Friday look like nothing. Because what you get is eternal and it's free. Wow. Now that's how I start out. And then God says, look, just walk over here with me. Let me think about this, Lord. I'm going to look at patterns. I'm a great believer in patterns. The first time I walked with you, all I got was eternal life instead of eternal lake of fire. Ooh, I got a good deal. Yeah, I think I came out the winner. I'm willing to bet. See what faith is? Bet. I was a pastor in Vegas 3 years. Okay. I'm willing to bet, because I've already bet my eternity, didn't I? It's a sure thing with God. I'm willing to bet that just as it was a good deal for me to get eternal life instead of the lake of fire, if I just go with you over here, Lord, I'm going to get a good deal too. Do you see where faith comes in? I just believe it's best for me. Whoopee. Ah, you're walking in obedience. No, I'm walking where God's going to bless me. Hello. I may be dumb, but I ain't stupid. That's what he's saying. I'm worshiping you. I'm caused to submit myself to you. And look, next word, and bow down. Ooh, boy. It's the word here to bow down. It's in the soul, teachable. That's part of the Christian life, people. When I'm filled with the Spirit, am I teachable? When I'm living in the flesh, and boy, I've got lots of arrogance and pride here, baby. Am I teachable? No. What do we even say in the world about people that just won't learn? They're arrogant. And then we may even throw in a couple of adjectives about their parents. See? Ain't that right? Yeah. Yeah, I'm just teachable. So, I'm going to submit myself to you. I'm going to enter into your presence, submit myself to you. What's going to happen? I'm going to learn. I'm submitting myself to be taught. Ooh. And God forbid that you, like, came to Wednesday night Bible class. You might be taught there, or Sunday morning, or you know what? Don't tell anybody this. Just pick up your own Bible, or somebody else's Bible. Give it back, and just read. You ever just read, Lord, you got something for me here today? Show me something. See? I'm open. Well, I'll be doggone. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I got something. If you're not open, guess what? You won't get nothing. I don't know why it works that way. It just does. I don't make the rules. Yeah. Let us kneel. Idea is you kneel down on one knee to get water, and you know what it says? I'm totally dependent upon you, Lord. My safety, everything in my life is dependent upon you. At our church, we've been praying for Thomas for, man, I want to say, what, 4 years? Close? Yeah, we didn't pray for you until you got sick. We didn't care anything about you. See, you got something to give praise about. You got sick, so everybody praying for you. So, praying for Thomas, and I think one thing, I don't want to go too far here. Don't even put words in your mouth, Thomas. But I bet you kind of learned a little bit about your dependency upon God. Now, of course, your doctor thinks he did it all. God used the doctor. Right? He uses prayer. We're God dependent. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to have cancer to be God dependent. You know what you have to have? Life. You can give yourself a test every morning. You get up, stand right next to a mirror and go, if it fogs up a little bit, you know what that says? I need to be dependent upon God today. Okay? If it doesn't fog up, don't worry about it. So let us kneel in the presence, show our dependency in the presence of Yahweh, the ever-loving, living God, our Maker. He made us from His own source. He knows all about us. He knows. God knows more about you than you know. You know, God knows more about me than I know. Here's a test for you. Don't do this now. Do it when you get home. Halftime. Okay? If you're watching the Cowboy game, you may want to do it anytime. Pick a date. Let's see. What is today? November 30th. Okay. Pick a date 10 years ago, November the 30th, and I want you to write down every thought that you had that day. Anybody here have one thought that they can remember that day? No. You know what? God knows them all. Do you see that? God knows a whole lot more about you than you know about you. Did you ever think about that? He made you, but He knows all about you. He's got you covered. So you just trust Him. That's all. Just trust Him. You'll enter into His rest. Where's the place of repose, of rest? Just trusting God with... Oh, I hate to say this. Trust God with most of your life. You know, pick and choose. You got this part. I'll handle this. No, I don't want you handling that, Lord. You do it different than me. No, with your entire life. And you only have to do it while you're alive. Yeah. And just think about this. The best thing that can happen to you is living for Jesus Christ. The best thing that can happen to you is dying and being face to face with Christ. You see that? Is your life covered? I mean, normally dying's the last thing you do in life. Okay? It's the last thing. And that's the greatest thing that's ever going to happen to you. 10 years I've taught in nursing homes. And I talk to the people about dying. One day somebody's with me, and after that, I said, you shouldn't talk to these people about dying. I said, what do you mean? They know somebody that dies every day. You don't think they're thinking about dying? They're 90 years old! And they're not in kindergarten. You go to kindergartners, you tell them, well, you're going to die. They don't even know what that is. You're 90. One day you're going to die. Yes, you know, I thought it was yesterday. I made one more thing. It's the greatest thing that's going to happen to you. If you know Jesus, you're going to be with the Lord. In the meantime, the greatest thing is to make your halak, your manner of life, your habit in life, to be filled with the Spirit. So therefore, you have joy, peace, tranquility, and you're giving all the praise to the Lord. Every day is Thanksgiving. I don't mean Black Friday. Why? Verse 7. Because He is our God. Elohim, emphasis is on covenant relationship. Ooh. Now, we're not in a quote-unquote covenant theology. You're not in. Okay, I just want to make sure. Does God have a covenant with you? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Is that a covenant? God says, here's my part. I'm going to give you eternal life. Your part, trust me. Right? Huh. Make your manner of life to walk day by day with me, and it'll be a life where you're just caused to give joy and thanksgiving. Is that a covenant? Yeah. What's my part? Faith. What's God's part? Everything else. Well, it's almost like salvation. What's God's part in salvation? Everything. What's my part? Faith. What a deal. What a deal. It's a covenant. God keeps His word. He is the omnipotent God of the universe. He is perfect in truth. He keeps His cotton-picking word. He's our God. We are His people. We are the people of His pasture. We belong to God. Why does He take care of you? Because you belong to Him. The sheep of His hand. He is our shepherd. We are under His protection. Shepherd. Just basically two things I got to quit. Two things the shepherd provides for you. Provision, protection. Is that right? What else do you need? Provision, protection. You know, we're getting ready to start 2015. I'm sure that it's going to be the greatest time in our history. Everything's going to be fine. The government is going to solve all of our problems. You know, we are under the protection and the provision of Uncle Sam. There's just one little bitty problem. Uncle Sam is broke. Or you can choose to be under the provision and the protection of the God of the universe who owns the cotton-picking universe. Do you see what I mean? You choose. I'm going to go so far to say that if you choose to be under the protection of the government, even though if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. This next year could be pretty tough. Because you don't know what's coming. See? My opinion, the good times are gone in this country. They're over. We're no longer a godly nation who trusts God to provide and live on divine norms and standards, principles. Okay? But you know what? God's not saying, pacing back and forth in the throne room. Holy comes in. That's Holy Spirit. Says, Father, what are you pacing about? I said, have you seen what's going on in America? I got a lot of children down there. I don't know how I'm going to take care of them. The government's going to hell in a handbasket. Holy Spirit said, oh, wow, I hadn't thought about it. I'll pace with you. Jesus comes in. Holy Dad, what's going on? Well, have you seen? Oh, wow, I'll pace with you. And the whole Trinity's pacing back and forth, worried. How are they going to provide for you with the country going to hell in a handbasket and they never saw it coming? Piece of cake. Got you covered. got you covered. I'm going to provide everything you need to stay alive until you die. Or the rapture. Right? Got you covered? When you die, what do you know? Time to go home. Work's finished. Here's what verse 1 says. Make it your principle in life so that you fulfill Hebrews 4, verse 1. Therefore, there's just one promise we want to make sure. You know what? We're going to go ahead in there and look there because we're going to have dinner after this anyway. And it's so funny because yesterday as I was thinking over my message, what I was going to teach, I thought, man, I don't think I got 2 hours worth. So that's what happens when you don't make notes. If you make notes, you know I can teach this many pages in an hour. I mean, you don't have any pages, you're wondering, how long is that? But look at chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, let us fear. It's the only time I know in Scripture God says, here's something you better be afraid of. Let us fear. Hortor is subjunctive. Our volition is involved, but it's like a command. Fear this, God says, okay? If while a promise remains of entering His rest. Home. How long does a promise remain for entering into the rest of God, the place of repose? Anybody know? I don't know, forever. Till you die. Thank you, Jerry. Throw that man a fish. As long as it's today. Mirror test. Oh, today's the day. Enter into His rest. You see that? The promise is good today. Lest any of you may seem to have fallen short of. In other words, lest you don't reach your goal. Your goal is to enter into the rest, enter into the promised land, enter into the place of repose, enter into the place where your life is characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. How are you going to do that? Psalms 95:1. You're going to make it your habit in life. Your modus operandi in life, to walk day by day by day by day, trusting God the Holy Spirit with your life. Everything in your life. And as a result, the author of Hebrews, God the Holy Spirit, says, you will enter His rest. If you don't, look what he says. Look at verse 2. For indeed we have had good news preached to us. Here the good news is the gospel of the Holy Spirit. It's been preached to us. Just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them. They didn't listen to it, understand it, believe and act on it. Because why? It was not united with faith or by faith with those who heard it. They didn't believe it. Wow. Verse 3. For we have believed, enter that rest just as he said. As I swore in my wrath. Now look, if you don't make it your modus operandi to walk with the Spirit day by day, trust the Spirit day by day, then here's what God has for you as a believer. I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Basically, what he's saying is, if they do enter my rest, then I'm not God. If you can enter God's rest apart from day by day faith in the Holy Spirit, God says, then I ain't God. What do you think the odds are God ain't God? Yeah. So they, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. You know what? Everything, and we're going to celebrate in this communion in a minute, everything that you need to enter into God's rest was accomplished for you before the foundation of the world. Everything. I have no clue what's going to happen next year. I don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. But God does, and He's got it covered. All I need to know is, if I make it my principle in life to walk with the Spirit day by day by day, I'll enter His rest. What's my goal in life? To enter His rest. I'm going to ask you two questions and shut up. I will shut up. Not you. I. What is your goal in life? Think about that. Now, host enter His rest is to glorify God. No. You know, you're standing before God and He says, what's your goal in life? Now, you know He reads your mind, okay? You have to get up very early to fool God. Just before, 2 days before eternity passed. What is your goal in life? Make $1 million. Get married. Not to be married. To do this, that. What is your real goal? I really want you to think about that. Don't answer what you know your goal should be, okay? No, I'm not asking what should your goal be. We know that. What is your goal? And then check that goal with what you know God's goal for you is. See if they match. I would suggest you change your goal until it matches God's goal for you. Because the odds are slim and none of God changing His goal for you. And slim has left town. So you might as well go with God's goal. What is your goal? And then secondly, am I living day by day by day to fulfill that goal? Is that my thought every day? I want to fulfill that goal. I want to enter your rest. To be in that place where I bring honor and glory to you. Father, thanks for the time we've had to come together. And I pray that we will heed the advice that David gave us in verse 7 of Hebrews 4. Today, if you will hear His voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit, and not harden our hearts, we will enter that rest. Now, Father, I've kept us 10 minutes over, and I pray that You'll add 10 minutes to eternity for us to make up for that 10 minutes. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now we're going to have communion, if I'm not right. See? Remember that you have a 10-minute chit, and when at the end of eternity, you got 10 extra minutes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I think most of you are aware the two elements involved in communion. We have some visitors here. Some people teach closed communion. That's not taught in the Bible. If you're a member of the family of God by faith in Christ, you're to take communion, and please don't deprive yourself of joining with other believers in celebrating the person and work of Jesus Christ. There are two elements. The first element is bread, and the second element is the cup. I'm going to take care of the bread, and John will do the cup. The bread represents a decision of God to become man in the person of Jesus Christ, and as man, to become the servant of man, and to die on a cross, bearing the judgment and sins of the world, and making it possible to receive the perfect righteousness of God. So when we take the bread, what we're doing is we're remembering what we did to enter into the plan of God and then keep living that way. But that's what the bread is about. It's just a few moments to reflect. There is no right or wrong about how often and when to take communion. Some do it every time they meet. That's fine. Some do it once a week. That's fine. We do it once a month. That's fine. Neither one of us are right. Neither one of us are wrong. There is no legalism in the scriptures in regard to the taking of communion. We are to take it. That we do know. It is our custom once a month, just begin the month with thinking, okay, How did I enter this wonderful plan? What part did God play? What part did Christ play? And what did I do? I just put faith in Him. So that's what we're going to do at this time. It is also our custom that everyone hold the bread until everyone has been served, that when we take communion with Him, we take communion together. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the bread by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for Your grace, Your love, Your wisdom. And Heavenly Father, how You provided everything that was necessary for our salvation. And all You ask us to do is trust You. Father, how grateful we are to the decision of Your Son, and that while He was God, did not think that was something worth holding on to, that all mankind would go to the lake of fire, but that He became man and took our place upon the cross. How grateful we are, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, for I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, when He had given thanks, and He's giving thanks for the going to the cross, He broke it and said, "This is My body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Thank You, Heavenly Father, for so great a manifestation of love, an illustration of love, His love for you, because You love mankind. That's how we are to love. We're to love one another because You love them. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
I'm more of a dun 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 dun. For those of you who are observant, you will have figured out that if there are two elements, the bread and the cup, and Herman did the bread and we're going to split it, I'm going to do the cup. And it is true that as often as we do this, we're to do this in remembrance of the Lord. How often, as Herman covered, I would just say one thing. I went to a church where they had communion every fifth Sunday in February, and that was probably not often enough. Okay? But the cup, interesting thing. The bread, a picture of faith. You just eat it. And I watched most of you. I didn't see anybody take any great preparations or precautions for chewing and swallowing. You just swallowed like you'd done it before. That's a picture of faith. It's very easily done. Just trusting Christ. I cannot believe that for so many years I missed the cup. In the same manner, the cup. Well, eat the cup, picture of faith. Drink, or eat the bread, pardon, picture of faith. Drink the cup. Well, it's just like you ate the bread. Picture of faith. They represent two different things. The bread is the work of Christ on the cross for us, free gift of eternal life. The cup, though it's interesting, because Jesus said, and he said it, you know, in the Gospels as well as Paul repeats it, so I guess he meant it, that he said, this is the new covenant in intimate union with my blood, with my work on the cross. New covenant. Well, new covenant is all about the Holy Spirit, right? New covenants to Israel. And I've thought about this. Why do I need to remember the new covenant? Why do I need to remember that God is going to keep his word to Israel? When is the new covenant going to take place? Nobody knows? When? Second Advent?
Church age.
Church age or Second Advent? That's a question, isn't it? If it's the Second Advent, when God keeps his word to Israel, and there's universal indwelling of and filling of the Holy Spirit with Israel, what does that have to do with me today? Are you with me? Who's going to come back with Jesus to the earth, Second Advent? Oh, we are, the church. And what are we going to be doing during the millennium? Anybody know? What are we doing with Jesus? Reigning with him. Oh! So I need to remember that God keeps his word to Israel, and he's going to rule because I'm going to be reigning with him. What's my life about? I'm training for reigning. Jesse Jackson, you got nothing on me. I am in training to reign with Jesus Christ. How am I going to train? Got to get in shape. I have to be practiced in walking in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. Does that make sense to you? And as I'm being trained by being filled with the Spirit, I'm being trained to reign with Jesus Christ. So it's not only important that God keeps his word to Israel, I know he's going to keep his word to me, but he's got a purpose for me in this life too. My halak, to walk in the Spirit, because I'm in training to enter his rest on this earth, then in heaven, and then back on the earth during the millennium, and to rule with him. Got to get in shape. I need to be in the habit of walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. So just as the new covenant is to Israel, the part, a lot of times people like to say, well, part of the church age and so forth, new covenant, but we have the Holy Spirit given to us. Why? So we can be in training to rule with Christ. Wow, think about that. You're not just going through this life to get through life. The cup is all about walking day by day in the Spirit, having Christ formed in me, because I need Christ formed in me on this earth so I can rule with him back on the earth. Does that make any sense? Mm-hmm. Am I out, way out of line?
You're on it.
Okay. I always like to check with the Do you see what the cup has to do with the cross? Out of the work of the cross comes the Holy Spirit. Given to us just like salvation. By faith. That's why you drink the cup. It's your faith. Duh. There we go. Have we had the cup yet?
No.
Oh, well, in life.
Oh,
I know, but we don't have it yet in our hand. So, everyone retain the cup until all have been served. Is that the clue for the cup to be passed out?
Yeah.
I was just thinking, y'all have several things to give thanks for. And I don't know if you thought about it, but two of them are right up here. One of them's Herman. And y'all have a great pianist, organ player, whatever. Adds to worship. It really does. Y'all are very, very, very fortunate. We give thanks for that. I want you to begin to think of the cup as your training cup. You're in training to serve with the Lord Jesus Christ and reign with Him. And that training consists of being filled with Spirit and allowing God to love others through you. Whew. Be much easier if people weren't, if we, you know, loved anything but people. But we're in training. You know what? If you don't love your neighbor enough to give them the gospel, you're not ready to rule. I didn't say I had to give them the gospel, but you need to love them. I think if you love them, you're going to see their need. You know? Of course, I know most of our friends and neighbors are already believers. You can tell them about the Holy Spirit then. You're in training. Father, I thank you for the cup. It comes out of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And it's for us that we would drink it and remember our Savior Jesus. Remember your plan for us. Remember that one day we will rule with Him, and we need to be ready. I pray that we would make it our habit, our modus operandi in life, to train every day by walking by faith in the Spirit. Therefore, we'll be loving as Christ loved every day. Thank you for our Savior Jesus. In His name I pray. Amen. Drink you all.
I'd like to thank Geraldine and Cameron coming in. Please be in prayer as they travel back. Cameron to Bryan College Station. Whoa. And Geraldine to California. And
El Paso.
It's close. Oh, El Paso. It's close enough.
You need a lot of prayer.
Yeah. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. How grateful we are for this book. How grateful we are that your Spirit opens it up to us, lets us know what it's saying, how it impacts our lives, Father. We thank you so much for John Hintz coming and sharing the gospel and the teaching of the word with us, Father. Pray, Father, that you take the things that he taught this morning, let them settle in our soul and become a reality in our life. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.